Welcome to the Cohort Sisters podcast, where we bring to life the stories, struggles, and successes of Black women navigating doctoral degree programs and their lives beyond the degree. I'm your host and the founder of Cohort Sisters, Dr. Ijeoma Kola. Cohort Sisters is an online global network empowering Black women pursuing doctoral degrees by providing resources, mentorship, and community. For more information, please visit our website at cohortsisters.com. You're listening to episode 3 of the Cohort Sisters podcast. In this week's episode, I talk with Dr. Vivian Rodriguez, who has been a school psychologist for almost 20 years and recently completed her doctorate in educational leadership and administration. Dr. Rodriguez is also a fellow blogger at livebyviv.com and podcaster at the Don't Mix In podcast. We talk about how she strategically timed going back to school with her own kids' educational milestones, why she started a blog after her 40th birthday, and why she thinks that pursuing a doctoral degree is a gift. Quick heads up, there are two or three times during this interview where my microphone has a bit of feedback, so I apologize in advance. The conversation is still really good though. Let's get into it. Thank you so much, Dr. Vivian Rodriguez, for joining us for the Cohort Sisters podcast. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself. You live in LA, correct?
Yeah. So I live in Southern California, been here pretty much all my life, and I am a daughter of immigrants. My parents are from Dominican Republic. So early on, they instilled in me, like, you got to work hard. So I can talk about my doctoral kind of journey, how I got to that. So I'm a school psychologist, and I've worked in the greater Los Angeles County area for the most part, doing a lot of work with mental health and youth, and got my master's as a school psychologist about a decade ago. And then after that, I got my credential to be an administrator. So right now I'm doing more of a supervisory role. I mean, I always wanted to get a doctorate because I felt like it's just a way to open doors to make more of an impact. So I, 4 years ago, decided to go get my doctorate in educational leadership from California State University, Fullerton. So it's local. And it was just like the right time to do it. And I feel like that's really important, like finding that right pocket of time. My kids were a little bit older, so I felt, okay, this will work. And I just finished in August. And getting used to saying doctor when people say Dr. Rodriguez, I mean, who are they talking about?
I know that feeling too, but congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of students with mental health and behavioral disorders and disabilities. So I studied the impact of belonging among the staff that works with these students with these challenges, because it's usually a high burnout rate. And the team I work with, we've been able to stay pretty much the same team for, you know, about 6-7 years. And so there was something, some kind of synergy or dynamic going on there that I wanted to study. So I did a qualitative study and asked them what really made them want to stay working with students that could sometimes be, you know, exhibiting some challenging behaviors. So that's what my study was about.
Nice. What were some of the reasons that your participants said made them stay?
It was really interesting. It was the communication between us as a team. It was also their sense of belonging, where they knew that we had each other's back. And also I found that along with the students, the staff also wanted to feel like they were part of the school. Yeah. So I think it was just all of the staff members feeling like they had equal part, equal input, because it's the aides and the teachers. And those were my findings. So it was fun. I don't know if everyone describes research as fun, but I thought it was fun to do it and get their insights on working with this population. Yeah. But I'm glad I'm done.
I'm sure. Were you able to finish before the pandemic, or were you kind of thrown for a loop once the world changed?
You know what? I had a professor who gave the best advice. He's like, get it done because stuff happens. He used a different word. He's like, stuff happens. Prioritize getting it done. So by the time the pandemic hit, I had already done all my interviews and I was at the point where I was just doing the writing. I just got in before everything started like going nutty.
Right. Well, congratulations again. So I want to back up a little bit. So I know that you are from California. Is that where you are originally from?
I was born in Canada. It's random because because my father's a physician and that was one of the places he was doing his training. So I was there for like a whole month after I was born.
I was not expecting that.
I actually, because of that, my siblings were born in Southern California and then one was born in Puerto Rico. So they were US citizens. And so when we would travel, it would be where me and my parents were in one line and then they were in another until I got naturalized with my parents around the age of 7, I think.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So as a daughter of immigrants, I'm also the daughter of immigrants. So did your parents ever kind of from a young age tell you that you had to get multiple degrees? Did they have any influence in your decision to pursue doctoral education?
That's so interesting. Yeah. So they met in medical school. Just my mom doesn't practice, but my dad is a physician. They were always really like, what are you interested in? And trying to find ways to connect us to our topic of interest. They weren't like, hey, you need to be a doctor. They're like, you just need to do something that's fulfilling and that you're going to enjoy. But they always were like, you have to work harder than everybody else because you're an immigrant. So it was always like, you got to work hard, you got to hustle. So I feel like that just letting me follow my interests and then just making sure I hit it hard was what I got as being a daughter of immigrants. I also think they were always really focused on make sure you're respectful to anybody because you don't know what their story is. And I think that I've carried that through my career, just making sure everybody I interact with feels valued, you know, that I'm no better or no less than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So I've done my research as a fellow researcher. And so I know that alongside having an EdD and alongside having a thriving career in education, you also have a blog. You actually started your blog a few months after you turned 40. And then a couple months after that, you decided to go and get a doctoral degree. What was it about hitting that milestone that inspired you to pursue both of those things, especially when you already had a very stable career? So what inspired those two big decisions?
So both of my siblings are really creative. They both work in the industry. And then being in Southern California, you just see, like I went to high school with Kimmy Gibbler from Full House. So you just see it everywhere, but I'm very risk averse. So I wanted something more stable. And that's why I went more into psychology and education. So when I hit 40, my kids were at a good age. I feel like for me, you get sucked into the role of being a mother, which isn't bad, but I felt like I was at a place where I'm like, okay, they're doing okay. My career was doing good too, steady. So I felt like I need something creative, something different that wouldn't impact the rest of the family. It was something I could do on my own time. And my siblings already had blogs before me, like for years with Blogspot and those types of things. And my sister was like, yeah, just create a blog. And I'm like, okay. And so I wanted to do fashion, something unrelated that wasn't like mental health, not tragic at all. So I just started doing that and then just wanted to be good at it. Started to consume a lot of information as much as possible that would be free. And then the podcast, I wasn't into podcasts that much. And my sister, who's a bit younger than me, she was into it. And she was like, you should start a podcast. And I'm like, why? And she's like, you like to talk. I'm like, oh, that's true, huh? So just started doing that. And for me, all of it has been just being able to pursue different interests. And as long as I'm not impacting my family in a negative way and finding that harmony, it's been good.
Absolutely. In one of your podcast episodes, I heard you talk about the importance of having your family be supportive, both when you decided to start a blog and when you decided to go back to school. So can you talk a little bit more about the importance of having a support system as you decided to make and maybe you don't consider it a huge career switch because you continued in your career, but I think pursuing a blog and also going back to graduate school are two major life decisions. And so can you just talk a little bit more about having a support system and the importance of that?
Yeah. And I like that you actually like listened to my podcast.
I told you I do my research.
I feel like it's really important to read the room and know your context and be in reality in order mm-hmm. to take something on that you're going to do long term and not get burnt out. So for me, like the doctorate, I talked to my husband and he knew I always wanted to get a doctorate, but I was always like, okay, yeah, it's a huge commitment, like time commitment. Do I want to do that? Is my health going to suffer? And he was just like, no, this is the right time. Just do it. He's like, if you don't do it now, you're not going to do it. So he was supportive of it. And I think it was also just finding the right program for me. I talked to different people who had been through that program and then who had been through their doctorate. I think I mentioned, like, I talked to men and nothing against men, but it's a different set of expectations. So I remember I talked to one guy. He's like, I went through the doctorate and, you know, we had a baby. I'm like, your wife had a baby. Come on. So I was like, that's different. Okay. Anyway, also I talked to my family and went through some different scenarios of how we would handle things. And then for the blogging, because I started so small and it was really random, first it was just like images with a mirror selfie. And then like I had a laundry basket in the back. It wasn't like a big undertaking. Everyone's like, oh, she's just doing that. And I think at the time too, people weren't doing influencing as much yet. So some people were just scratching their heads, like, what is she doing? And I was like, that's fine. You know, I just felt like I wanted something creative and different. And my family was like, whatever, that's fine. I think as my blog grew, though, I did have to talk to them sometimes to check in and make sure it was okay. I don't do a lot of stories with my family because they're not trying to do what I'm doing. So I'm respectful of that and boundaries with that. I don't share a lot about my family or my husband. That's just not my thing. And every now and then I'll just be like, hey, I want to do this. This is cool. And just checking in to make sure it's okay. A lot of my images are from my sister and my daughter used to do some too. And I do them myself, but I haven't worked with a photographer only once. So I think that the impact financially hasn't been that significant. And then I usually make a day where I go with my sister somewhere, or I would go with my daughter somewhere and we then go get lunch and then be back like half day. So again, I just try to make it, you know, something practical and realistic so that people wouldn't start getting annoyed.
That's really important to make sure that your family is aware of what you're doing, especially when you're blogging. Yeah, I feel like there have been many conversations that I've had with my husband where I'll be like, okay, can you just take this picture quickly? / can you just be in this picture quickly? And he's like, could you have asked me first rather than just assuming that this is something I wanted to do? So yes, over time, I've also come to, you know, just think about the fact that we as individuals have made a decision to put ourselves out there and share our thoughts, but that doesn't necessarily mean that our family wants their business out on the internet.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's go back to the EDD. I know that you said that you had always wanted to get a doctorate degree and finding the right program was really important, but can you kind of walk us through the time in between when you got your master's degree and when you decided to go back to school for your doctorate? Were there other moments in the years that passed where you had an inkling like, okay, maybe I'll go this year, but then decided not to? Can you just talk a little bit about the in-between time between the two degrees as you were pursuing your career?
Right. You know what? I had it in the back of my mind, but I think I got a little more pushed to do it because I don't know how it is in other states, but in California, when you're an administrator in education, you do this like preliminary credential, you know, you take courses and all of that. And of course, you got to pay the state for the credential. And then they have this interesting little thing where you have to do like a part two to it and you have to pay for it. And then you also had to do coaching. So it was a big commitment to do that. So I was in the middle of doing that. And I started researching going, you know what, I could probably get this credential and the doctorate at the same time. And that's how I found my program. So they took the rest of the courses I needed to complete. And then it was embedded in the doctorate. And so it was a better deal also financially for the time I was putting in. So during that in-between time, I know people were like, she's always in school because I had to do that credentialing program. But before that, I think I was just trying to get my footing. Going from a school psychologist then to an administrator is a big jump because then you're working with people and there's bigger problems. And so I think I was just trying to wrap my mind around that. And then when I felt like, okay, I actually have to do this credential thing and started seeing, wait a minute, I could probably just go get a doctorate. So that's how it happened.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It sounds like that was definitely the right timing. And then you also mentioned earlier that you have a family, you have children. And so how did, if at all, the decision to have kids and raise kids factor into your timeline as well?
Yeah, I didn't want to have my kids to be too young where it's like that kindergarten age. I felt like that wasn't a good time to be doing it. And then I feel like the pocket of middle school is tricky too. So waiting for my daughter to get into high school, I was so excited. I thought 2020, we both graduate and we'll have parties, and that didn't happen.
Next year, hopefully, if the world gets it together.
Yeah. She was like, I'm so over this. Cause I was like, we're going to have our cap and gown together. She's like, I just want to be like moving on to college, please, everybody. So anyway, it was just for me, like thinking about developmentally and as a school psychologist, I remember the stages and ages that are a little more critical, which grades are a repeat of the last grades and which grade is like super critical. So I knew for third grade, I needed to be wrapping up for my son, because I know that's like the make or break year for the standards in California. And it probably is for the whole country, but that's where they start to change the curriculum a bit. And so I was like, I can't be trying to work on a doctorate. I need to be wrapping up. And so that year I was already wrapping up. So I was more available for him.
Interesting. I've never thought about timing my education alongside my kids' school education. And I know that people will talk about, okay, delay either having kids or delay going back to school in order to have kids. But I thought that the considerations were about time, but I never thought about there are certain milestones or there are certain grades in schools that might need more support. So thank you for bringing that up in case anyone was trying to decide whether they should, you know, wait one more year or go now. Third grade sounds like a really pivotal time.
It is a pivotal time for sure. Well, I think everybody knows middle school because they remember their own middle school experience that wasn't super awesome usually. So I knew I needed to be available for her during that time too.
So when you were getting your credentials and when you found your program, did you investigate any other schools?
I did research other schools to see how they would do their format, the way you would start your doctoral study. I liked that this one, you started from the beginning, like you got your topic and you started working on your dissertation from the beginning. So you already had to like get your topic by the first semester. So I loved that they did that because they were like, you need to stick to something quick. Don't be, you know, just wandering around and then doing your courses and at the end going, oh shoot, what am I going to do? So for me, that really helped because then I was able to gather a lot of my research along the way. And then it also helped me with my job. I feel like one of the best pieces of advice was like, study what you're doing already. And so it made it so easy for me to do my study because I was just going to study the people I'm working with. And they knew all along I was doing that. And they thought, oh, like they were flattered by that. But then that helped me also bring in different research topics and practical strategies to use with them during that time to strengthen my skills as a leader and then see that impact in the study. So that was one thing. The other thing was I looked at the price too, also the distance. Cal State Fullerton's like, I can get there in a half hour. So that's like a big deal over here because of traffic and all that and driving home at night. But there were other programs like USC, other ones that are further out, but they were just way more expensive. I think you also want to look at what do you want to do with it. I'm not planning to go higher probably in education because of the time it requires. I'm looking more to be able to teach and to write books and things like that. So I didn't need some of the benefits of a network that you would get from some of the more expensive universities in the area. But if you're like trying to be a superintendent, you want to go to certain universities because then you're part of this network and that'll help you out professionally.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about the idea of knowing what you want to do before you start and how that influences your decision. When you knew that you wanted to get your doctorate, did you ever consider a life in academia or did you know that you were going to go back to your administrative role immediately?
That's a good question. I know that around here, there's not a ton of opportunities for a job in academia. You have to get in there and then work your way up. I'm actually going to start to teach this semester at Cal State Fullerton, which is exciting.
Nice.
So yeah. And I taught years ago, I taught at Loyola Marymount in the graduate program for school psychology. And the program director's like, look, I would hire you more. You just need to have a doctorate. Like you just need to do that. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go look at administration. He's like, okay, whatever. Fine. So at the time I couldn't take on getting a doctorate. I knew that if I wanted to really pursue, you know, career in academia, I had to kind of work in there slowly. And so this seems like the right time to go down that path and eventually see if there's more opportunities and that type of thing. So I guess it was more of like me looking at what are the opportunities out there compared to what the opportunities are in education at this point for K-12 education.
Do you find there to be a big difference between teaching in the K-12 school system and teaching undergraduates or graduates?
Yes. I feel like with K-12, as an administrator, there's a lot of moving parts. I feel like there is a lot more layers because you also have these stakeholders from the community. You have your parents. And then the kids are pretty dynamic. I have middle school right now, and that's like such an interesting time. The kids change so much. So I feel like it's different versus when I was teaching. You're kind of molding future leaders in a sense and impacting them, but there is less crises. Whereas when you're working in education, there's more things that come up out of nowhere that you have to quickly solve the problem versus someone's like, I can't submit an assignment, or I need help with this, or I need to go to your office hours. I don't feel like that's a crisis sort of situation.
That makes sense. You mentioned a little bit earlier about choosing schools based on affordability. Can you talk a little bit more about how your degree was funded? Did you get any employee tuition assistance from the school that you work at, or was it completely self-funded? Were there opportunities within your program for funding? Was anyone else in your program funded?
No, it's pretty much self-funding and being creative with that. It's an inexpensive program compared to the others in the area. And I was at the point where I'm like, I just need to apply because I want to get out. I want to transfer my administrative credential coursework already to this one. So I didn't have time to really research, but I would say, yeah, definitely research, see if where you're working will fund it. But where I work, they're like, that's your problem. You need to do that anyway. They weren't going to fund it, but I know there's other people, they've had the opportunity to get funding from where they work. And also this is the state of California, the budget's kind of volatile. So that doesn't happen that often.
So I want us to talk a little bit more about the actual journey during the program with the actual time you were there. What were some of your biggest successes during that process?
I think I've mentioned this before in the podcast and other things that I'm used to being the only one in the room, right? I'm used to being one of the few people of color and women of color in the room. And so one of the things I think is just really being direct in my position and how I see things and bringing that to my classes and discussions. I got a lot of perspective from others who just did not have experiences because the school is in Orange County and that's a higher white population. And so I was like an anomaly to a lot of folks there, but getting their perspective and getting a better understanding of how someone who has limited experience with someone with my background, I feel like impacting the way they see things. And then they impacted how I approach things. So I think that was a success for me. And I think just really enjoying being a student. I love the energy of being on a campus. And we had one professor said, you guys are going to miss having these discussions with people who are like-minded or are passionate about the same field. And I do. I miss it, but I don't miss driving and those other things. But it's nice to have time reserved just to be a student. Not for anything else, not to be a mom, a wife, a friend. You're just there to soak up the topic and get into discussions and then watch people do things in interesting ways and then take that back to your job. And I remember coming home and your brain's a little wired. Everything's firing because you had a great class session. So I think that's another success. And then lastly, I think just pacing myself. I was worried that my health would suffer, that I would just gain a ton of weight from just having coffee nonstop. And I feel like I did a pretty good job of staying healthy, taking breaks when I needed to, and knowing when I needed to hit it hard, letting everyone in my family know, hey, I'm going to be going to Panera or Starbucks for a while to get this done, and them being supportive of it. And then other times going, I'm not even going to look at it because I just need to stop.
On one of your podcast episodes, you described the process of getting your doctorate as a gift, which I thought was just the cutest/most positive outlook because it sounds like you had such a positive experience. And I know that isn't necessarily the case for some people, if not many people, but I just really appreciated the positive approach that you took to your degree and the good that you were able to find in it and through it. So I'd love if you could share a little bit more about how people can think about the doctoral degree in a more positive light rather than something they have to do, something that they get to do.
It goes back to, what do you want? Why do you want it? And for me, I knew that would be a way to have other opportunities, and I enjoy learning. I had to delay it because I'm like, I have other things going on. And I was like, man, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it. And it just seemed like something that was not within reach. So I think for me, it's like when I had that opportunity and knowing there's a lot of women out there that would love to be able to spend time learning something and get a degree and they can't. And the fact that I was like, okay, I can actually do this, get through it, and my family's going to be supportive. I felt like that was a gift right there. Because I would talk to people when I was starting to do it and I'd get different reactions. I'd get some people being like, oh, wow, I don't know if I could do that or that's a lot of money. But I could tell that it would like trigger them going to think, that sounds like that's interesting. I'd love to be able to do that, but I can't for some reason. I'm like, well, I get to do that. And I think in my program, they talked about it a lot too. They kept telling us, you guys, you're lucky you are here. You're lucky you're here. And I feel like even now with the pandemic, having the experience of being in a room with people and just having those like human connection and conversations, I feel even more lucky that I got to have that opportunity. But I'm always trying to be positive about stuff, but still realistic. And yeah, some people, they're like, Vivian, can you stop? But that's just my way. That's my way of looking at things, because I feel like, why not? It makes things feel better and life is better, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I just want to quickly interject that I do think that waiting until you are in the right place in life to get a doctoral degree brings a certain level of appreciation for it in the way that I, as someone who went straight into my degree after college, probably don't have the same appreciation. So just another plug for people who are considering, should I wait? Should I go straight? There is the potential that if you wait until you are ready and right place in life to do it, you'll have a greater appreciation. You'll be able to approach it from a place of gratitude as opposed to a place of, I don't even know what place I was coming from, but it was a struggle. Okay. So we talked about your successes during your journey. What were some of the challenges that you faced?
I'd say the challenges, well, okay. Every professor is different and having professors that aren't clear, maybe, you know, and you need to work harder to get an assignment done. Those sorts of things I think were challenging. I'm trying to think what else was challenging. I think sometimes just you're like, okay, I just need to get this work done and I don't have the energy to do it. I feel like that is, but that's just part of it. I think I talk about this all the time or not, but I trip. And so like when I fall, a lot of times I know it's because I'm stressed. And so I had one night that I was like trying to do all this stuff. We had gone to the library and I like fell and I'm like, okay, I just need to stop. I need to take a break. So I think the challenge is when you have those times where you feel overwhelmed. But for me, my family's pretty good about saying, I think you need to take a mental health day. Or I would tell the staff too, hey, I'm taking a mental health day tomorrow. So I'd model that for them too. Like I don't get a gold medal for like overworking myself. No one's going to clap for me. They're just going to give me more work to do. So I feel like whenever I had those types of challenges, the kind of response was like, okay, I need to take a break.
That was good. That was a really good gem just now. Oh. If you do a lot of work, no one's clapping for you. They're just going to give you more work. Wow. So good. So you mentioned that in your program, there were people who did not look like you. Were you able to find any mentors who were women of color, or was that even important to you?
Yeah. You know what? I got so lucky. The coach I had for my administrative credential that was embedded within the program was a Black woman. And what I liked about her too, is that she had already gone through administration. She was retired. And so she was the one who gave me like the best advice where, you know, when you get a doctorate, there's some people that are like, oh, you have your doctorate, or, oh, you think you're better. It's okay. Can you stop? And that's been something my entire life. If I'm doing something and kind of working hard, there's people who make some comments and you're just like, okay, really? And then, so I told her, there's a tendency for me to be like, well, I don't want to really mention it to people. And she's like, you know what? You're just getting your opportunities. You let them be over there. Just keep getting your opportunities for you. And she just was great in like kind of helping me navigate the weight of a doctorate and how it can elicit certain reactions. So I just got lucky that I had her. It's hard because the area I live in, it's in between Orange County and LA County, of course, is super diverse, but there's not a lot of Afro-Latinas here. So being Black and Latina, my mentors are my parents, basically, because there's not a high Caribbean population out here. So a lot of times when I'd say, oh, when I was little, like, oh, my parents are Dominican, they go, oh, you're Jamaican? That's so good. And I'm like, I didn't say that, but it's because there's not a lot of Dominicans out here. And so being a unicorn my entire life, I've assumed I wouldn't be able to get someone to mentor me during the program. I was just lucky. I got, you know, blessed with her and she was amazing.
Nice. So what is one thing that you would do differently during your doctoral journey if you could do it all again?
What would I do differently? I think, gosh, I don't know. I feel like I would have done it the same, maybe even enjoyed it more knowing that there's a pandemic coming. Yeah, maybe doing that. I would say early on, I would have done more exercising and try to get that like embedded as a routine early. So in the beginning, right when I started, I think I was just so freaked out because the first course was very dense. And I started thinking like, okay, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. I feel really stupid here. But it was just that course and everybody felt like that. So I was like, okay, good. But I would have done more. I think having like your time to do your exercise to keep your mood up, your focus, and to just help you stay healthy, I would have maybe pumped that up more in the beginning. Instead of once I got settled, then I'm like, okay, let me do exercise again.
Something you've touched on a couple of times is the importance of maintaining your both mental and physical health during your doctoral degree. And so many times it can really impact both of those. So whether that means that you start not eating as well as you would like to, or not being as active as you want to, or just not going to sleep at reasonable times because of your workload, a doctoral degree can 1,000% negatively impact your health and well-being. So it's really important to be intentional about prioritizing both of those as you continue on.
Absolutely. I think that should be like your foundation because it's just going to make the experience better. You're going to come out healthier and you're going to be able to finish. I think that if you really don't take care of both of those things, there might be a chance that you're going to take longer or you won't finish or you're just going to have a horrible experience. So I try to keep things in perspective, like with blogging, like with everything, like it's not that serious. Like just take your break. NTS, not that serious. But I think that comes from experience. Like, you know, when I worked as a school psychologist, I had a coworker who passed away. And I saw how people responded to it, how everything evolved after it. And I thought, okay, I need to just not, it's not that serious. You need to take care of yourself. And so that you can get through it and not have all these battle scars from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So important. What is one piece of advice that you have for current Black female doctoral students?
I feel like just do it. Just do it. Get your doctorate. Study what you are going to be curious about. And you're going to want to open the books and look at the research when it's 1 a.m. and you're like, oh my God, why am I doing this? So I think just do it. Don't worry about, I guess, the kind of preconceived labels and categories that people try to put you in. If you're a mother or you're a wife or whatever, I think just if that's something you really want to do, you do it. And then you own it forever. It's yours.
Absolutely. And no one can take it from you, even though people might try to disrespect your name and not call you doctor. Mm-hmm. No one can take it from you. You have the degree. Awesome. One last question. A little bit earlier, you talked about how you are, you know, thinking about writing, publishing. What are your current research interests? What would you love to write on more or study more?
I would like to write a book on the study, like expanding on that and talking about the power of belonging. I think that would be interesting. I'd like to talk about probably something having to do with like confidence and being older, something having to do with the topics that have come up through my blog. So I just got to narrow that down. I think for now, that's good enough.
That's more than enough.
Yeah.
Great. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think do it and then enjoy it. Try to enjoy it. Try to make that a thing. You are taking a moment and stopping, even if you're in the parking lot right before you go in class, and sit and enjoy it, that you get to study something that you're interested in, because there's so many people who cannot do it and would love to be in your position. And I think that's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Viv. I really appreciated your time. And I think that if nothing else, the reminder to be grateful for your position, for your ability to pursue and study something that you love when a lot of people don't have that chance, was a much needed reminder for a lot of people. So thanks so much for sharing that as well as the rest of your journey.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you again for listening to this week's episode of the Cohort Sistas podcast. If you are a Black woman interested in joining the Cohort Sistas membership community, or you're looking for more information on how to support or partner with Cohort Sistas, please visit our website at www.cohortsistas.com. You can also find us on all social media platforms at Cohort Sistas. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cohort Sistas podcast and leave us a quick review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll catch you in next week's episode.